From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest light that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Everyone, welcome to episode 16. Great to be back again. As always, I have the two legends in their own lunchtimes, Ed and Mark. How are you both, boys?
I'm good, thanks.
Ed?
Does that answer your question?
Yes, I could. I'm already scared. It's been a big news fortnight, so let's jump straight into the news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
So as always, because we're a fortnightly podcast, there's been two Friday updates. Last Friday's update was a fairly sedate one, although for PvPers it was one of interest, and that was providing lots more details around the PvP experience. The previous podcast, we talked a fair bit about PvP, so I won't go into it too much more, but it was just really encouraging to see, again, the level of detail and how interested they are in making sure the PvP experience works, not just as far as the specific areas, but also those that tend to roll characters on PvP servers. Ed, I'll start with you on this one. What were your thoughts on the whole PvP thing unleashed?
I've never really been a big PvPer. And it's nothing to do with other people. I don't like what happens to me when I PvP. I don't like the fact that I become someone who winning is everything. You know, I will cheat. I will lie. I will gank my friends. I will do whatever it takes to win when I play PvP. And I don't like the person I become when I do that. Neither would you. You're making me PvP. You wouldn't like me when I PvP. And basically, I turned into the Incredible Hulk of PvP. But all in all, it looks like BioWare and LucasArts are doing a reasonably good job of, A, keeping it balanced, as reasonably balanced as they can, and B, they've put a lot of thought into what they're doing. You know, it's not going to be some half-baked piece of junk like a number of MMOs I can think of. I really shouldn't name any of them online because it might get into copyright issues. And copyright's getting to be a big thing here in Canada at the moment. I'll just keep my mouth shut on that. But other than that, not really a big PvPer, so it really didn't impact me. What about you guys?
Mark?
I'm not a huge PvP player myself. My PvP is pretty much limited to the battlefields. I'm going to be playing on a PvE server. That said, one thing I have read continually about the PvP in Star Wars is they've got the guys from Mythic that were involved in the PvP on Warhammer Online. Now, again, I've never actually played Warhammer Online, but I have heard a lot of positive things about the PvP side of it. So I think they've probably done a good thing in getting these guys to do the PvP in Star Wars.
Let me interject, actually. I did play Warhammer Online. I played the free trial of it. And if it hadn't been for a number of other problems with the game, there were a number of problems. There were classes that were so overpowered and other classes that were so underpowered, and they never fixed them. There were glitches, there were issues. But the realm versus realm that they did, when you jumped into an area that was the PvP battle zone, and anybody could enter that PvP battle zone and then PvP, and then when they wanted to stop, they would leave, or you know, when they died, they'd they'd respawn back at the base camp, and then they could leave from there. They weren't locked into it, and I really enjoyed that. If it wasn't for all the other issues with the game, I'd probably still be playing it.
I don't think that Star Wars The Old Republic is going to do anything near as innovative as that stuff. So, my reading of the information was it's really, well, for those of you on PvP servers, here's how we're going to deal with particular circumstances, particularly being ganked as a lower-level player by higher-level players. But yeah, the whole, you know, whole realms and big world events and that, I didn't get an inkling of that, but I'm sort of hopeful that that might happen as well. And I think, Mark, you've played some Rift. I could be wrong on that, but I think Rift has been renowned for doing some great world events.
Yeah, I mean, again, I didn't play Rift for too long. And again, the server I was on was a PvE server, so my PvP tends to be just battlegrounds. And like Ed says, you know, you can go into a battleground PvP and you can come out again when you get annoyed with it, or in my case, usually I've gotten annoyed with it, but you've just had enough. But yeah, I like the idea that you can choose when to PvP, so that's why I'm going to play on a PvE server. But yeah, I know Rift, I did read about some of the sort of world events that they had, but I was never actually directly involved in them, actually.
And I think we're on an agreement as far as we'll all be on PvE servers. I don't have the patience to be on a PvP server. Not that I have any idea of how one recovers from death. That's one thing I actually am totally ignorant on. I assume it's a run back to the body thing like World of Warcraft?
There's a thing I believe that you can actually resurrect, and it sort of stealths you, I think, so that you can get out of immediate danger. But I believe everybody in the game can res another person. It's a skill that everybody gets, apparently.
Okay.
That's in Rift? I've never played Rift.
No, I'm talking about
both good
Star
and
Wars.
Bad thing. Oh, this. Yeah, yeah. I've heard that you can, according to a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, you can res other players, or, you know, if you're doing PvE stuff, you'll have to run back to where you started. And still and companions cannot res you, but you can res your companions. That's pretty cool.
Okay. So, yeah, more PvP. There seems to be a lot of focus by BioWare on PvP the last few weeks, and there's yet to be any real contention or, you know, people being angsty around it. But I think most people going, yeah, seems pretty good to me. I'm happy to be contradicted on that because I don't hang on the official forums that much, but I don't see a lot of pushback on it. So the other one during the week was, it's not very exciting to a lot of people, but it's the fact that in the US, the Entertainment Software Rating Board have released their rating for Star Wars The Old Republic. And so they've said...
You've got to be kidding.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. And they've rated it as teen. So because it has blood and gore, mild language, sexual themes and violence. So the rating summary that the ESRB provided is pretty basic. Just gives you a rundown of the game. But the bit that caught my eye as to why they've rated it as teen, so not just for kids, is during the course of the game, players are presented with interactive cutscenes in which their choices play a vital role in the outcome of their story, e.g. using electrical attacks on restrained characters to collect information, killing someone instead of letting them go, etc. Some sequences depict brief instances of blood and gore. To complete one quest, players must dip a skull in a pool of blood. In another mission, players delivered a severed head to a specific location and place it on a pike. Now, what the hell are pikes doing in a science fiction genre? But I won't go there. Players can freely...
Force pike.
Yeah, that's right. Players can freely explore many areas in the game, including clubs that depict, and this is why the name of this podcast is what it is, scantily clad female dancers with exposed cleavage.
Ooh.
Some sequences include dialogue with sexual innuendo, e.g. an hour, I think I'm insulted, we'll need the whole night, or I'll be sure to make conjugal visits, and come dear, let's forgo the nuptials and proceed to the honeymoon. The words damn and hell can be heard in dialogue through the game, so it's pretty full on. I hadn't realised that, you know, this is essentially you know, hardcore pornography.
That's funny.
I think that
really I know some 12-year-olds who would think this was relatively mild.
Yes. Mark, what
I was just saying, I reckon that rating will change.
They'll lower
Didn't they just announce this week that there's going to be same-sex relationships now in the game?
Right, yeah,
that'll
bump
up the rating.
Okay, I missed that. So was that officially announced?
I did read it somewhere. It was saying that they had confirmed that same-sex relationships are going to be in the game now because they had that much like negative response saying that it should be in game, because I think it's been in other BioWare games in the past.
Oh, yes.
So a lot of people expected it in this game and it didn't happen.
Guys, they just announced, press release, launch date for Old Republic announced, December 20th, 2011.
Oh, my God.
They just announced this a minute ago.
Where?
Whoa!
On their actual site?
Sorry.
So you've been serious?
Yes, I'm serious. It's on the site.
Oh, it is. It's on the front.
It is too, yeah. Launch date for Star Wars The Old Republic.
December 20th, 2011. Yes!
Now we've got the subscription charges there, too.
You heard it here first.
All kinds of stuff going on here. Everybody's just like, yes! And I did the Darth Vader no, but I did it in yes. Yeah. Oh, you mean that stupid one they're putting on the Blu-ray? No, don't even get me started on that, Colin. Trust me, even I hate that.
Welcome back. So we just had a little bit of a break because, as you could hear from Ed, we literally just had the release date announced while we're recording the podcast. So we just took a very short 5-minute break to whack something up on the web. All right, I think we obviously need to talk about this, or do you want to just leave that till next week?
We better talk
about
it
now. Too important to leave.
Yeah, we better talk about it now.
All right. So obviously, by the time most of you are listening to this, you'll already know that 20th of December 2011, it is 2011, I didn't check, maybe it's next year. 2011 release date, with a two days later, the 22nd of December, Europe coming online. So for those of you that have pre-ordered, you'll have early access. Now, one thing I don't understand, and I'd love some clarification, is for those of us in Australia and New Zealand that have pre-ordered, do we get the European or the US launch date?
I think it depends on where you bought the game. If you got it from Amazon.com...
It'd be American.
Or something like that, it'd be American. Yeah. If you got it from Amazon.eu, it'd be the European,
yeah, that makes
sense. I think.
Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the US client that we get here.
Okay, so for us, and Mark, you were just saying while I was madly knocking out that story, that it'll be interesting with, you know, Christmas mail and stuff. I can't see, even with early access, us being actually in and playing before Christmas.
Yeah, like I can only assume that it's coming out in the 20th because Santa comes early in a galaxy far, far away.
That's right. Well, earlier the better for something like this. So, I mean, as Ed's noticed, the official forums have already gone ballistic. So, Ed, what time in the morning was it you're saying roughly for, well, both West Coast and East Coast time, roughly, if you got them?
Yeah, they made the announcement, according to this, at 8:36. Let me double check that. Yeah, the forum thing went up at 8:32 this morning, which was 20 minutes ago. So far, we have 26 pages of responses.
it's a
real... And most of them are all, yes!
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have anyone complaining too much. Now, what's interesting, just from an announcement viewpoint, is I'd love to, without going into too much speculation, as to whether this was planned or not, because I mean obviously it was planned, it's on the Star Wars The Old Republic site, etc., etc. The first I've heard of it, and as far as I know the other sites devoted to Star Wars The Old Republic have heard of it, is now. There's been no warning or, you know, insight given that a launch date announcement was incoming. So They've kept that really close to their chest, as you'd expect. And it's just an interesting time from a US viewpoint. From a European viewpoint, okay, it's Saturday morning there. Even that, it's not exactly peak media time.
Well, that may be the point. They may have wanted to take everybody completely by surprise. And believe me, this took me completely by surprise. I didn't hear anything else about this from anywhere.
No, there was no heads up. So, you know, exciting stuff. So I'm sure someone within a few hours will have a day and hour counter. I haven't worked out, but I mean, roughly it's 3 months, just under 3 months away.
I think I need to start saving up money.
Sorry, I've just got to say the other interesting thing in the post is they have actually announced the subscription charges as well.
Yeah, so no, great point. So, I mean, for those of you that are used to paying for an MMO, the subscription charges are pretty much what you'd expect. So, as I madly and nonchalantly go to the story I've just knocked out, it's around the $14, $15 mark. Yeah, here we go. So it's $14.99 US per month, or 8.99 euros, and then 3 month subscription being $13.99, and 6 months being $12.99. So, Mark, you'd know in particular, that's nearly identical to World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just glad they didn't go the Sony way and start charging us $20.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we're very unexcited. So, you know, 12 weeks roughly in counting. What do you mean
unexcited?
So you had that evil laugh to start off for a reason. I think you must have had felt the disturbance in the force. So, what you'll expect of us.
What have I done?
Over the next 12 weeks, you're obviously going to see an enormous ramp up in interest and excitement from those that have been following Star Wars The Old Republic for a long time now. But you're also going to see a very big ramp up and increase of new people joining the community as they realize, okay, this is getting close. And your mainstream media will start to get really obsessed by it, I would have thought. And there'll be, unfortunately, I'd argue, lots more beta leaks, particularly as the mainstream media get involved. You know, there'll be a lot more chance for notoriety for people to leak the good, bad and ugly about the game as it stands.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's Star Wars The Old Republic. I don't care how bad it is. I'm buying it.
And can I just say, I took the initiative while you were chatting there and I put a countdown on my guild website. So we're looking at 86 days, guys.
There you go. You heard it here first. 86 days.
86, yep.
And counting.
So I'm going to go on to a question, an obvious one is, okay, so what is going to happen now between now and 86 days' time? Obviously, there will be, you know, early access, there'll be all that stuff. But what other information do you think that is going to be released about the game?
Well, they're going to finish up the HoloNet, the HoloNet timeline. They haven't finished that. There's other stuff that they will need to put out. But
I think one of the things they're going to have to expand on is the in-game content as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really given us much on that.
And I mean, the fact it's only 12 weeks away tells me that they've obviously got it developed and ready to go. Mm-hmm. They just managed to keep it tight to their chest.
Yeah. which shows a lot more. I mean, the fact that they've managed to keep all of this information hidden for so long is just absolutely amazing. Because if there's one thing that people like to do, it's talk. Yeah, laugh. I mean, it's what I do. But, and talk about Star Wars? How the heck can you not talk about something like this?
I think all the employees must be under threat of losing their jobs. And let's face it, if you've got a job in BioWare, you'd probably really want to keep it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in-game content, and beyond that, I just think there's going to be, you'll see the PR machine move into high gear. It'll be fascinating from the community management viewpoint, how the current community's managed, and then what I'm expecting will be a big influx onto what's already way too busy forums.
Yeah.
Yeah, there My question is, have they already hyped it as high? No. I've just answered my own question. They have to hype it more than they already have. They've already hyped it a lot. But can they hype it more than they already have? I guess they could put, you know, spots on TV and in movies and that kind of thing. And the previews for movies, kind of like Mass Effect 2 did. I don't know if the... Would they be able to get it into a Super Bowl spot? I don't think so.
Don't know. I'm actually expecting, and that's all pretty low-key, I'm expecting sort of President Obama to come out and say that, you know, Star Wars The Old Republic release date's part of the economic recovery plan for the US. The International Monetary Federation, you know, citing the release as the key plank towards Italy and Greece's recovery financially. That's, I think, the base point.
You know what's scary? That may be the only way to save the economy.
Yeah, well, you could be right. So I think you're right. I don't think they have hyped it as high as they can, and I think the hype will get silly. On the positive side, I said there'll be a lot of excitement, and it's just my worry, but it's the same with any MMO, is that probably just the negativity will ramp up as well, as you would expect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Haters gonna hate, man.
So, and obviously if you're a Blizzard software or whatever, you've just had, I'm not exactly sure when BlizzCon's coming up, but it's only a matter of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
They've done a fair bit of thunder stealing there, although Diablo 3, et cetera, will still get plenty of attention. But I would have thought in MMO land, there'll be not a lot of focus between now and December on anything but this.
Probably not. I haven't seen any other MMOs that are supposed to be coming out this year that look anything like this. Well, not that anything could look like Star Wars The Old Republic, but...
The only thing that could potentially, and it wouldn't dent the launch in any way, but as far as media coverage, the only thing that would get more coverage is if Blizzard Software actually released significant detail on their Titan project. That's a potential, you know, world changer as far as MMOs go, but I doubt they'll be doing that before the end of the year.
Yeah, it's good. It will be very hard to compete with, Star Wars. Star Wars has been around since before Blizzard was created, and while World of Warcraft is huge and it's good in some ways and not so good in other ways, I don't care how good Titan is. It hasn't been around. They haven't been around. They haven't had nearly the amount of time to hype Star Wars as Star Wars has.
No, there's that brand recognition.
No.
We won't get into it this podcast because we've got plenty of podcasts to talk about. I mean, WoW's seen a small decline in user numbers, so they've dropped about 750,000 to 1 million users over the last few months for a number of reasons, and I don't think that's a downward trend significantly. But, you know, they'll be looking at it pretty closely, and there will be a leech of a lot of people from WoW to Star Wars The Old Republic for a short period of time. It's just a matter of how many of them, you know, keep up to subscription fees and how many of them actually decide which one they like better. But I think, you know, they've sold, what, 500,000 copies pre-launch for Star Wars The Old Republic?
Try double that from what I understand.
Yeah, I thought the following of the MMO stuff was about 463,000 copies, I think, had been sold pre-launch.
Yeah, well, there was some talk about 3 million before the end of the year projected or something. So.
Oh, maybe I read that. It's possible.
Yeah, I think 3 million's a bit optimistic, but they say, I think by the time launch comes, they're going to have probably, you know, the number 2 or 3... Well, probably the number two largest MMO, by launch.
Yeah, no, I think the 3 million, sorry, I think that was a projected amount of people for the end of the year or something. I don't think that was what they meant now, but yeah.
Okay, that's probably what I read somewhere and can't find it now.
No, so yeah, excitement plus. So while we're digesting that, we probably should just do a couple of the other points that were announced, and this all does impact on what happens in 86 days. We're talking about the ESRB rating, so it doesn't really mean anything for most of us unless you're under teenage years, and in most cases you'll have a parent that loves Star Wars, so I don't see the rating having any big impacts.
No, even if it were an X-rated game, you still have a parent or a friend who can get it for you. So I've always thought the ESRB was basically, you know, a bunch of bull malarkey.
Yeah. So, but in bigger news is the guild alignment and phase two sort of guild stuff. Mark, you're the guild man. Jump in and give a summary of what's going on and what you think about it so far.
Yeah, I'll give a quick summary and then let you know what I've been involved in this last couple of weeks. Phase two is basically they've moved on to the next phase, which is where you can pick up to three guilds to either be allies or enemies. So that when the guilds are actually launched on the server, you can hopefully get on the same server. What I've been involved in is obviously there is no Oceanic server at the moment. So a lot of the Oceanic guilds have kind of got together and basically, let me read here. It was Garskull and Dunedar, I better say hi to them, over at Nemesis Guild. They've put a lot of work into aligning Oceanic guilds into some semblance of order so that we can get as many Oceanic guilds on the same server. My own guild, Sith Knights, has already sort of done their part, and hopefully we'll get more Oceanic guilds to do it. I think there probably is between 10 and 15 guilds there so far that have all picked their allies and enemies, but you know, we've chained them all together so that hopefully we can all get on the same server. So if there are...
I'm fascinated by the... Sorry, keep going. But the chaining together, I still don't get that, not being heavily involved. So how are you guys chaining together?
Well, what they've done is the guys at Nemesis Guild there have made a sort of diagram with all the guilds that have signed up to this. And in your guild headquarters, you can actually select guilds for basically to be your allies and or enemies. You can have up to three. So what they've done is they've done this diagram so that we can see, like, my guild, Sith Knights, has to ally with two other Sith guilds and select a Republic guild as an enemy so that it'll put all four of our guilds on the same server. But they'll be linked to my guild, and they'll also be linked to two other guilds, two separate guilds. So it, like, daisy chains all these guilds together. If anybody is interested in this, if you go to www.nemesis-guild.net and take a look at their discussions, they've got the actual diagram there. You can see all the guilds. The only requirement that they've basically got is that your guild must be eligible for the next phase, which is phase three, which basically the requirement is you need four people in your guild who have all pre-ordered, because that's basically the next stage. So if you've got a guild that's got at least four people pre-ordered, get on a Nemesis guild if you're an Oceanic guild, and we'll get you daisy chained up, and hopefully we can all get on the same server.
Sweet.
Excellent. And just a blatant plug for our site too, the Tauros forums have some of that activity, nothing like as good as what Nemesis have done there, but on our forums there's a lot of the guild alignment stuff being discussed there as well, so jump on there if you're interested.
Yeah, we'll see. That Garskull and Dinadar, they have put a lot of work into getting this done, so...
No, congratulations to them. And obviously, yep. Nemesis and a whole bunch of other Oceanic guilds are listed on our guild listing, as well as you can obviously search the official guild listing if you're looking for a guild. But we've got some specific details there for Oceanic players if you're interested.
Yeah.
Companion characters. If there's ever a man that, you know, needs and loves a companion, it's Ed. Ed, you've done the most reading into and watching of the companion videos, which were only announced today. What are your thoughts?
I'm not sure whether I would like the way you're saying that I need a companion.
Well, I just think you need to be kept an eye on. I think you're...
He's got Colin.
Colin's your companion.
Yeah. Basically, you know, There's been a lot of stuff on the forums here and there about the companions, about how everybody's going to be running around with companions that look exactly the same. Wrong answer. Not anymore. Because BioWare has heard us. What they have done is they have made it so you can customize your companion. Like in Dragon Age Origins and in Dragon Age 2, you have tactics that you can set your companion to do various things. In Dragon Age Origins, You could change your companion's armor. You could give them different weapons. But they were still the same character. In this case, they're still the same character. And I'm looking at one right now, which is the Mako character, one of the Sith companions. And they have... Have either of you played Mass Effect or Mass Effect 2?
Yep.
I haven't, I'm ashamed to say.
Played
one. Well, how many characters have you made for Mass Effect 2, Mark?
Oh, just the one. I just went through it once.
Just one?
Yep.
Did you play around with the character customization when you built that character, or did you just import it from Mass Effect 1?
No, I just left it the default guy that was that was there, to be honest. I'm not big on customizing them. I just, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, some people are. And in this case, they do have a point. Running around, you know, having 8 different characters, mm-hmm. Sith characters or Empire characters. I can't call them all Sith because they're not all Sith. Running around with 8 different of the same companion who all look the same. I mean, sure, they're all clones. They're all computer avatars. But, you know, it gets kind of But, I mean, you have in the character customization, Mako's originally got black hair, and she's sort of a, I'm not sure how to describe her, more, I look at her and I see Pacific Islander, but that's just me. You also have a redhead, you have a blonde, you have black hair with funky-looking sunglasses. You have silver hair with funky-looking sunglasses. You have all of these different, and these are just the hairstyles, the hair color and hairstyle. Considering the amount of work that went into Mass Effect 2, well, Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2 to create the characters for that, I can't help but think that they've put a lot of, almost the same amount of work in this as well. Even the alien character, Kem Vall, who is the Deshade, who's one of the companions for the Sith Inquisitor. I mean, he's big. He's ugly. He's an alien. He's got huge claws instead of fingers. But you can change his skin color. You can change his some of his tattoos, his scars. And they also have his armor progression to show that, you know, they're not all going to look exactly the same. And then they go into the fun part. You can set them to do different things at different times. They're basically looks like 5 roles for companion characters, which are ranged damage, melee damage, ranged tank, melee tank, and support, which is probably your healer. Now, they've also I've never seen this guy before. Corso Riggs, a new companion. Maybe somebody else has seen him before, but I haven't. And he's a shooter type. So while your smuggler is hiding in cover, he's standing out there and blasting stuff. Oh, and he has a grappling line like a bounty hunter. That's interesting.
And in 86 days, you'll be able to play with him.
That's right. Well, I'm not going to play with him because I am going to be rolling a trooper. Thank you very much. You guys can have your force. You guys can have your cover. Covers for weenies. I'm going to have my armor and my big fucking gun. Pardon my French.
So you know Ed's excited. He started swearing.
Sorry.
That PvP beast he keeps talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's going to be a long 12 weeks. So, Ed, on the companion characters, they're obviously much more fleshed out than any companion sort of I've seen in MMOs. Obviously, it's comparable to BioWare single-player games, but it seems pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's like having a single-player game here. In single-player games, you can modify your own character. That's nothing new. But to be able to modify your companions, that's fairly cool. Could you modify your pets in World of Warcraft? I never got that high with a hunter.
No.
The best you can do is your own character and the hairdressers, and even then you're pretty limited in what you can do.
There was talent points you could spend, but you couldn't really change the appearance of them at any.
Mm, Okay. Listen to this. One of the frequent requests we heard from our testers involved getting additional attire for the more fashion-aware inquisitors who were offended by Kemval's sparse clothing options.
Cleavage, see? It's all about the cleavage.
He's male.
Yeah, I know, but you can still, there's plenty of male cleavage.
Maybe he's got mom boobs.
Exactly. And I do need to mention, I mentioned earlier that the name of this episode was going to be something like Exposed Cleavage. Obviously, with the release date, I've made it something much more boring. I apologize for that.
Whatever.
That's right. We don't care anymore. So, I mean, as a bit of a live coverage, obviously the forum threads easily hit 50 pages in no time flat, and there's plenty of discussion and emails coming in already. So I haven't got one person yet saying, oh, I wanted it to be 2012.
Wah. Anybody who does that will be lynched.
So, I mean, it's the obvious question. Are they rushing it out? But just to, as much as I said there'd be a ramp up in negativity, this has probably been negative, but are they rushing it out?
I don't think so. When I've talked to a couple of people who are in the beta, they have said that, yes, there are problems with it, with the build that they were playing. But they said that it was the best polished game they'd ever seen in a beta. For what they had available, for what they could do, it was the best game they've ever played in a beta.
So, devil's advocate number two, with the pre-orders, only those people with those, say, 500,000 or even if it is 1 million pre-orders are going to be able to play it for really the holiday season. So, are they actually going to cop a lot of flack from all the other people that maybe hadn't thought about buying it yet that are sitting there on the holidays going, I actually can't play this damn game?
I don't think so. We just talked to EB Games trying to see if I could get a copy of it here without having to pay for the shipping fees. But they're sold out. In June, they sold out. So they know how many they're going to need. And they have enough of those coming in to fulfill the order, supposedly. But we'll have to see. I don't see the game companies being stupid about that.
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, you would think that each of the, well, for those in the launch territories at least, no one down here gets that sort of access, but that you would have thought there'll be, you know, hundreds of copies in the big stores for those last few days before Christmas where parents or siblings or whatever go, well, there's the perfect present I now want to get.
Well, most of my friends, the people that I've talked to, have all said, you know, yeah, we pre-ordered that way back when we first could pre-order it. What's the big deal for Christmas?
Yeah, well, that's right. The hardcore people, there's not going to be many people disappointed. It's just going to be interesting to see those that didn't pre-order, whether there's much of a backlash. And, I mean, what can they do about it over the Christmas New Year break? The media aren't going to cover that sort of stuff anyway, and hopefully by the New Year there'll be lots of copies floating around, again emphasising for the half the world that do have the access at this stage.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate on that as well. I think that this is a ploy. That they specifically did this at this time of year, for that time of year, so that there would not be a great deal of media access for it. You know, if it does bomb completely, which is highly unlikely, it's possible, but it's highly unlikely, they're not going to want but so much media coverage for that, are they?
No, that's right. And to be fair to BioWare too, or not fair, but to be understanding of that, I would do that in their position because there are going to be glitches and bugs and issues with lag, I would have thought, in a big way for those first few days and weeks.
Oh, so no question.
Yeah, and I don't think it's fair for any media to cover that as a game bombing. So, I can't blame it for doing that, really. It just lends weight to my idea. I still don't think they should have geographically restricted it because if there does end up being lots of lag and stuff, well, they should have just, you know, let everyone have access now anyway and work through the nightmares with it and get it out. But on the other hand, I understand the infrastructure stresses with that. It's exciting times. So that's it for the news, although it doesn't get much bigger for news than that. So
boom.
We usually would move on to chewing the fat and debating in depth some issue. And the issue that I had down for this week was obviously the potential 2002 slippage of release dates based on an Electronic Arts investor call. Well, that's sort of redundant now. We don't need to talk about that. So,
can I just say, I actually just got an email from the Old Republic community, swtor.com, announcing the release date. Big fancy email with the release date on it. So they're obviously getting emails too.
Yeah. Well, what's really funny is that I haven't. But that's fine. I'll live. I don't think I get a lot of those because I get the ones from BioWare community guys, and I haven't got one of them yet, but which is why I'm wondering if things have been caught hopping or it was just, as I said, always intended to be a bit of an unusual timing and announcement. Yeah, it doesn't get much bigger than that. So it's, well, the only other thing I thought for a debate is I heard an off-the-cuff comment from one of you about the Blu-ray release of the 6 movies. Who's got them, and if so, have you had a look at them?
I've watched a couple of them so far. I haven't watched them all yet.
And your thoughts?
Like, they are good. I mean, you know, the quality of the picture is fantastic, obviously, in Blu-ray. But yeah, so far there's a couple of things that have changed that just put me all wrong. So I don't know. I think for the hardcore Star Wars fans, they're probably not going to like them too much.
Well, I haven't gotten them because I don't have a Blu-ray player, among other things. But there are a number of things on them that I looked at, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding. I'll get them eventually. Just because I have every single kind of Star Wars thing. I even have the radio shows somewhere. I have no idea where.
Radio shows. There you go. I'm totally ignorant. I didn't even know there were radio shows.
Oh, that was 1979, 1980. And then they did one for Star Wars in... Oh, good God, when was that? I don't remember, but I have them on cassette somewhere. Of course, I can't play them on cassette because nobody ever makes cassette players anymore, but...
Yeah, I still have a cassette player.
Well, if I could find it, maybe I'll send it to you.
That'd be great, actually. We'll talk about that. Well, we need to digitize it at least, so... Yeah, I haven't had a lot of outcry or, you know, interest or discussion around the Blu-rays. It just seems like there was a lot of hype before it and people excited, and then it's just been a real lull afterwards.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many times can you release the thing in a different format and get too much excitement?
Well, it's always going to be Star Wars, and there will always be people who have not seen it.
There was one other Star Wars thing I was kind of excited about. It's a bit rumor mill at the moment, but I believe LucasArts have put their feelers out looking for new people to make some new games that they're going to be making. And the rumor mills are we're getting a new X-Wing or TIE Fighter game.
Yes.
So
yes,
that'll come about.
Do you think they could do that for the Old Republic? Because if they made a game based in the Old Republic instead of one based in the... Because they've already done X-Wing. They've done TIE Fighter. X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and X-Wing Alliance. So that's pretty much covered the Galactic Civil War between the Rebel Alliance and the Galactic Empire. If they put something like a free flight simulator for the Old Republic... Whoa. I would buy that in a heartbeat.
I think it'll be in. Look, I you heard it here first. There'll be a full high fidelity simulator for both TIE Fighters and X-Wings in this release coming out on 20th of December. What?
What?
I can hear silence and laughter, so maybe I got that wrong. Guys, we might wrap it up there. It's been one hell of an interest. Oh, sorry, Mark, you had something?
No.
Okay. It's been one hell of an interesting podcast, to say the least. So it's been an absolute pleasure sharing the news on the release date with you guys live. We'll have obviously lots more to talk about over the coming weeks. I haven't talked to you guys, but I'm assuming we might, where possible, ramp up slightly more regular podcasts now, although, you know, it depends on, you know, we're all busy superstars, so you can only get together so often. But we'll talk about that. But yeah, look, thanks everyone for listening as always. If you're interested in talking to us, we'd love to hear from you. So our email address is contact@toroz.com.au, the forums at toroz.com.au/forum. Our Twitter handle is SWTOROZ, and we're on Facebook under Toroz if you search for that, and that's a growing community, which is great. We'll be back in a week or a fortnight, depending on what's going down, and we look forward to talking to you then.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.